This is the MLW Radio Network.
Welcome to a new Eastern Lariat episode here on the MLW Network. I am your host, Strigger. I am again joined by Dylan Harris from Tennessee. Hi, Dylan. How are you doing?
Hey, Strigger. Hey, fam. I'm looking for, you know, fans, listeners. I'm really looking forward to this show here today. I'm super excited. I feel like a million bucks. I've never felt more alive than today, Strigger.
Yeah, I'm happy for you. I need to address some things first. The last show was pretty bad from a technical standpoint, and Dylan and I have been sitting here for an hour now trying to sort out the technical issues I have now on my end and Dylan has on his end. But we haven't been able to really get the quality up to the level we want, and it's really frustrating for me, and I'm really sorry for this. But I'm not an expert for producing audio stuff, and we've been trying so many different things right now, and I just hope that the sound quality isn't too bad and you can still enjoy us talking about Japanese wrestling. Also, I'm in the middle of moving, and really don't have the time to sort all things out. I'm really sorry for the issues and for, I heard from some people that they weren't able to listen the last show to the end, and it's really
Strigger, I saw those same things, and like I said, I'm not gonna lie that, you know, it was rough on both of us to read stuff like that. As far as this goes, today goes, like you said, there's a lot going on right now, but it's not. I really hope that everyone listening, we don't know how this is going to turn out. You wouldn't believe some of the acrobatics we had. And yeah. I don't want to drive this point, but we really, really, really did try. It wasn't anyone's fault. It wasn't equipment. And it wasn't, it certainly wasn't lack of effort. But it's just one of those things that happened. Every show has this. This is why I try to tell Strigger, it's not about being an expert or anything like that. Because I've heard three different shows this week that have had technical problems of some sort. Just different podcasts that I listen to, and I like to keep my finger on the pulse a little.
Yeah, we are recording this through Skype. If anyone out there listening to this has a different program you can use for recording, please let us know. But Skype isn't very gentle with us right now.
Yeah, and we've done a lot of good up to this point. It's just the last couple of episodes have been kind of weak, but once you get settled in, move in, and I'm trying to get some new things on my end. Just to be safe. I'd rather be safe than sorry.
Yeah.
We are trying. That's my point that I want everyone to know. We're trying so hard, you wouldn't even believe it.
We both are probably going to have some new technical equipment within the next weeks. So please stand by. And,
especially Strigger, because he's a follower.
Yeah, well, I hope you still enjoy the Eastern Lariat podcast, which is, of course, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling. And if you're listening to this, and if you're still listening to this, you've subscribed to one of our new feeds, but maybe your friends haven't yet. So tell them to go to mlwradio.com, search for our show on the drop-down menu that says shows, and subscribe, rate, and review, please, as we bring you the Eastern Lariat podcast completely for free. And still, with all these technical difficulties, I've been reading some of the reviews we've gotten, and I'm really happy about that this show is getting reviewed so well.
Oh, yeah, me too. I was so happy today just reading some of the iTunes reviews. We've got three different iTunes reviews so far. And I want to shout out my boys, Bishi Bishi, Eastern Lariat number one. Man, you couldn't have said it better myself. Lone Wolf Gam really gave us some nice comments in his. And, of course, Snoring Elbow, Vinny Massaro.
Yeah.
And he reached out to me on Twitter as well about my solo show and our last episode. which I was so excited about, so psyched for, man. Like, this guy wrestled Misawa once, you know, in Pro Wrestling Iron. Great base on Lucha Underground, if you can fire him. Just, I was really happy, and I really love getting nice comments. And I will say this, even when the torches came out after our last episode released, My Way, the real MVP of this show continues to be Dreller Dro, who reached out to me on Twitter to reassure me as I was getting beaten down like Dusty Rhodes with the Four Horsemen. He said some very nice words, and as well as our boy Kyle on Twitter as well. And
yeah.
Everybody's cool. We did our best, you know. I totally understand it. It's all love, you know. Even though I got some not nice comments, it's all right, man. Like, I totally understand. But we do our best, and hopefully we can provide some good stuff if you do listen and make it through the waves that we're going through right now.
If you're making it through, you're really a tough guy.
You're a real hero.
And or girl, I don't know.
and girl, don't forget our girl.
Yes, and I want to give a shout out to the user Lone Wolf Gam, who also reviewed us. And let me see, we got some reviews from the UK as well, from a user called Fugasiuk. I don't know how to pronounce that name. And of course, a review from Germany as well, from my guy, the user Heel Crush. Thanks for the reviews, and I think we get going with our show right now, Dylan, because today, as we are recording this is August 5th. It's the 20th anniversary of the J-Crown Tournament Finals in Ryogoku, when the great Sasuke beat Ultimate Dragon in the finals of this tournament to win 8 different junior titles, which was an amazing tournament to begin with, and also an amazing sight with this great Sasuke just presenting 8 belts.
Yes, I remember that well, with all the women coming out with belts before the main event match, and it obviously spawned one of the greatest memes for Ultimo Dragon, one of the original memes in Japanese wrestling history, of him holding all of the titles.
Yeah.
And that's an image I get as a fan, and it's a great moment. I'm looking at the tournament right here, and I remember that match with Ultimo Dragon and Shinjiro Otani, too, in that tournament. That's very well remembered.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, you know, the J-Crown, it's an amazing feat. It was an amazing feat, and it's something, you know, I can't imagine us ever seeing going back to that again. Now with the creation of the, you know, the IWGP titles and everything like that, so... always good to look back at the J-Crown.
Yeah, and another anniversary on August 5 is the first ever pro wrestling took place on this day 16 years ago, in the year 2000, when Noah split from All Japan Pro Wrestling. And on this topic, you and I, we watched some Noah Jr. matches, actually. Watched some matches from the July 5th show from, I think, Kuroken Hall it was. Yep, Kuroken Hall. Taichi Ishimori versus Yoshinari Ogawa. Kenno versus Genba Hirayanagi. And Daisuke Harada against Hajime Ohara.
Yes.
Let me say this. The matches were all fine. But really nothing that stood out to me. And anything that stood out to you?
I thought... you know, there was a nifty little match with Kenno and Genba.
Yeah.
Harada and Ohara, they had some good stuff. I just like both guys' moveset. To me, Ohara especially has a great moveset. And he's a really a candidate to me for one of the smoothest wrestlers alive. Just how he transitions into things, his grappling, his moveset. Harada's a great all-around talent in terms of selling. But I agree that we've seen better from these guys in terms of their tag matches earlier in the year, I would say. You know, along with Kotoge and Kenno and Ohara.
Yeah. Well, as you said, Genba did some funny stuff on this show. I don't know if you saw the video package before. Yeah, right. He did the Hakushi tribute. I don't know if you saw the video package before this match. Genba, in his first round match... Genba faced Captain Noah, and Genba came out as Gedo, dressed up as Gedo, with a with a beard painted up on his on his on, on his face.
Yeah,
Genba is Genba is pretty funny, and it's sad that he's going to retire, as we talked about on our last show. But switching gears from Pro Wrestling Noah to All Japan Pro Wrestling, they had a great show on July 23rd, headlined by Kento Miyahara defending the Triple Crown against Jun Akiyama.
Man, what a match this was. Like, this to me is hands down one of the best matches of the year, this Miyahara versus Akiyama match. We saw so many moves here. There was an inverted DDT on the apron at one point. There was all sorts of things. The crowd was just going crazy here. And it's really impossible to just describe the closing stretch of this match. You really just need to watch it on your own. This Miyahara and Akiyama match, a definite match of the year candidate, in my opinion.
Definitely a match of the year candidate. And, you know, this match was really good. And what made it great, in my mind, was the moment when Kento Miyahara hit his knee strikes on Akiyama, and Akiyama tried to remain on his feet to not expose his back to Miyahara for him being able to score a pinfall on Akiyama. That was so brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Akiyama is such a great guy, and I know our friends at Puro in the Rough have called him the best wrestler right now. He is certainly a very intelligent man.
Oh, yeah, he really is one of the all-around MVPs. I always call Miyahara the MVP of wrestling this year in so many ways, but I think Akiyama, just in terms of his booking, and his, not just booking the shows, but who he brings in, and everything that's gone on this year, All Japan's just on a great run. This whole show, I thought, was really good. Even Jake Lee had a good match, I thought, against Omori earlier on in the show.
With Omori coming out with a weird dress, kind of a black fishnet sort of jacket.
I was hoping not to talk about that.
we can't avoid it.
Yes, exactly. But Omori was awesome, though, once that came off.
Yeah. You know, Jake Lee is slowly progressing. I think he's not moving as awkwardly as he has been moving for some of his matches earlier. So that's a good sign for him.
The problem is he'll always be compared to Nomura.
Yeah,
doing great work he's in a great storyline right now with Suwama.
Oh yeah. To that match. We had the six-man tag team match. Atsushi, Maruyama, Masashi Takeda, and Ryuji Sai beat Evolution of Naoya Nomura, Suwama, and maybe the new Evolution member, Super Tiger. Sai pinned Nomura following the double stomp from the top rope. And after the match, Nomura questioned the claim of Evolution to be a strong unit. And a couple of shows after that, Nomura asked Suwama to leave Evolution, and Nomura is now on his own. And Suwama left, granted him the release, so to speak, from Evolution, and it's going to be interesting to see how this storyline progresses.
Oh, yeah. It's really interesting stuff here, and this can only mean good things for Nomura, that he's being he's rubbing shoulders with Suwama in this sort of way, his former leader of the group, and I really think this is going to come down to, you know, eventually these two are going to have a match, you know, Nomura and Suwama.
I believe they already had one.
I was going to say they're going to have a match where Nomura can finally get his big win.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, like I said, that could be 6 months down the line. It could be a year and a half down the line.
Exactly.
But I could definitely see this being a great thing that fills up the cards in the meantime. And we also had on this show another match mentioning was a rematch for the World Tag Team titles.
Oh, yeah.
With Body Ga and Zeus.
Body Ga and Zeus, right. This match, I didn't like it as much as the first match they had in Curricon Hall, but it was still a good match with the possibly the most amazing power spot in the history of professional wrestling when, well, Okabayashi had Zeus in a Argentine backbreaker in a torture rack position.
Yes.
And Daisuke Sekimoto did a German suplex with both guys.
Amazing. Like, everyone needs to watch this match just for that alone, man.
Yeah, I'm quickly getting the both way.
A lot.
Okabayashi is at 271 pounds, while Zeus is at 231 pounds. So...
Zeus 231?
Apparently, according to the site called Cage Match, but I might check with the All Japan... with the All Japan
maybe
site.
Maybe 231. wow, that's really surprising. Like, he could be a cruiserweight at WWE if he drops a few pounds.
Yeah. Maybe that's an old stat. I might check the All Japan homepage and see if they have an update.
He is part of the big gun.
Yeah, he's part of the big information about Zeus. I don't know. But yeah, this show, Frank, this one out, especially the main event and of course also the World Tag Team title match. There was a nice match on the undercard as well. Beat Ultimate Dragon and Yohei Nakajima. Quite the nice match, and then the opening match, Yutaka just squashed poor Yuma Aoyagi.
It's always fun to see big guys beat up young lions.
Yeah. That's also fun. Fun ride. I'm quickly looking at the Zeus page right now to make sure how much he weighs. But in the meantime, All Japan has shows this weekend coming up when this show probably drops on Saturday, so this show will have already happened but not made air yet. So there is another World Tag Team title match. Strong BJ defend against Kento Miyahara and Jake Lee this time. And also there is an All Asia Tag Team title match. Atsushi Aoki and Hikaru Sato defend against Takao Omori and Heat Up's own Katsuhiro Tamura.
Yeah.
And also coming from Nagoya at the end of August, on the 27th, there is Yuji Okabayashi and Daisuke Sekimoto against Suwama and Super Tiger in the semi-main event of that show, and Kento Miyahara defending the Triple Crown against Ruji Sai, who challenged Kento Miyahara after the show we just talked about.
Yeah.
And apparently still, according to the All Japan homepage, Zeus is weighing in at 231 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be true.
It could be, but I'm not quite sure.
Yes, that's a very skeptical number.
Yeah. We may have to get somebody to Japan to take Zeus to take the weight of Zeus. But yeah, that's All Japan.
That's your job, Spiker.
What?
That's going to be your job.
Yeah. But, yeah, All Japan had a great show on July 23rd. Check that one out. And also, as we talked about on one of our episodes a few weeks ago, 01 had Fire Festival tournament, which was won by Yusaku Obata, and 01 already uploaded some of the matches to their YouTube site, but still not everything. So we're trying to watch some of those when more matches are uploaded.
Yeah.
The final show made tape and is going to air on Samurai TV, which is good. And also some tournament matches from the Super Fireworks show on the 24th made tape as well, which is going to air on Samurai TV as well. But right now, Yusaku Obata, who won the Fire Festival, he is getting his shot for the 01 World Championship. And unlike it was said on this podcast a couple of weeks ago, Koei Sato has not dropped the World Heavyweight Championship. He's still listed as the champion on the 01 homepage. The thing is, he thought about relinquishing the title after he started out very poorly in the Fire Festival. And there was an article on Tokyo Sports or on the 01 homepage that the 01 office was discussing what to make of this basically this offer from Koei Sato. So he's still the champion, going against his challenger Yusaku Obata on August 18 in Shinkiba First Ring. That show also has the Tenkaichi Junior Tournament, the annual junior heavyweight tournament from 01, Ultimo Dragon was announced for this tournament, and some of the regular juniors from 01 as well. And also on this show, the NWA Intercontinental Tag Team Champions Masato Tanaka and James Rydeen defend against Akebono and Shogun Okamoto. Well,
not looking to be a great match on that one, but the junior tournament should be good stuff, though.
It should be good stuff. And as I was talking about Akebono, Akebono actually ran his second Royal Road show on August 4 in Hirosaki. And this was quite the show. I saw some pictures. I retweeted some of them. You saw them too, I guess. Kenokushin's birthday was on August 4. And he received a present from a kaiju in the middle of the ring from a giant monster. And we were told that this was the same kaiju that Kota Ibushi is fighting in this movie that came out some time ago. And this show was really something else. It saw in the co-main event the Mascaras and Kashin Akuma Kamen tag formation, the Devil Mask tag formation, when Mil Mascaras and Kendo Kashin beat Dick Togo and Nosawa Rongai, following a flying cross chop from Mascaras against Nosawa. And also in the main event, Akebono, Ryota Hama, and Taiyo Keiya beat Yoshiaki Fujiwara, Masakatsu Funaki, and Daisuke Ikeda. This show drew apparently 1,670 fans, not a sold-out house, but certainly good for this kind of card.
Yeah, like that sounds like great numbers. I'm sure very legitimate, as we know.
Of course.
And just to know that Kendo Kashin is still doing crazy things such as that, it makes me happy. I want to wish a great belated happy birthday to the great Kendo Kashin. Always a favorite on this show. He's a friend of this show, and a genius with a hot wife. So there's no one I really resonate with more than Kendo Kashin.
What more can you ask for than being a genius and having a hot wife? I have no idea.
And who can question his wrestling skills on top of it?
Yes, and on this show there was one match that really looks like it could have been fun to see that on tape, but I don't think this show is making tape. But there was Kotaro Suzuki and Ryuji Hijikata defeating Masato Tanaka and Buffa on this one. Sounds like a fun match too.
Yeah, good to see Buffa back.
Yeah. So he
I'm looking at the card right now.
Came back at the end of the Fire Festival after he had, did he have something with his neck, I believe? Neck injury?
Yeah. It was something serious sounding.
It sounded very serious. I'm just looking if I can find that.
Yeah, it might have been his spinal cord or...
Yeah,
or...
something like that. Hopefully he's fine now. Apparently he is, as he's returned to wrestling. So hopefully... Buffa is doing well.
And they also had New Wild Order. It's with versus Andy Wu and Kaz Hayashi. That could be pretty fun.
Also the Osaka Pro Classic between Kikutaru and Kui Shinbo Kamen. I think those two have wrestled like 500 times over the years. Always fun to see those two. And you know, which was... also fun was me looking at the next card for Inoki Genome Federation.
this is fun.
On September 3 from Tokyo Dome City Hall. This show, I will quickly run down the card from bottom to top. Okay, from bottom to top, because it's really something. First match, Minoru Tanaka taking on Keisuke Okuda, which could be fun. Actually, then we have Crusher Kawaguchi against a guy who is named apparently Vito Ria from Italy, as the IGF homepage states, but I have no idea who this guy is. Third match of the show, Magnus taking on Tyrus from TNA. Bob Zapp taking on Nux, the former Mike Nux from WWE. Remember when he made his TNA debut and Mike Tenay screamed from the top of his lung, "That's Mike Tenay from that's Mike Knox from WWE." That was amazing. We have Kenzo against Raja Singh, who is Jinder Mahal. And I'm really, really, I don't really know if this match is happening at all, because Jinder Mahal returned to WWE this week. And I would believe that he would be on the house show loop that weekend.
Well, like I said, you know, maybe Inoki just scored himself a WWE superstar.
Maybe.
His business acumen proving us all wrong yet again.
Yet again. He's trying to prove us wrong yet again with another match, with the Atsushi Zawada return match, when Atsushi Zawada takes on Montana Silva, the giant from Brazil. Montana Silva.
Giving me a headache.
long and behold, there is a match which sounds kind of fun. It's the main event, the IGF special tag match. Shinichi Suzukawa and Masakatsu Funaki taking on Shinya Aoki and Alexander Otsuka.
Okay, yes, that actually does sound pretty great. But I will say this, the no doubt MVP of IGF was Striga. With his tweets running down this card thing. My God, Inoki, what are you doing? Exactly what we all think. I love Inoki. I love this promotion so much.
Yes. Oh, man, IGF. I don't know what to say. You know, who would be a fun guy for IGF actually would be Mike Bailey, I think. He would fit in pretty well and could take on the likes of Keisuke Okuda or maybe Minoru Tanaka too. But Mike Bailey, he's actually wrestling for DDT. Mike Bailey, it looks like he has the time of his life right now, because he is doing the Tavern Pro Wrestling shows this week. He had a special singles match with Isami Kodaka on Monday, which he lost. Then he was on the Tavern Pro Wrestling USA Ultimate Superstars Action Saka Bash at the Beach. So this is a wordplay actually on, I think Tavern Pro Wrestling in Japanese means something like Sakabara Pro Wrestling or something like that, I think. Or Sakabara Pro Wrestling. And this is, of course, a play on Bash at the Beach. And Sakabash at the Beach 2016. Drunkard's Kingdom was in Shinkiba First Ring also. This was on Tuesday. And this saw some amazing matches, as we had, for example, Shima Taniel Bryan taking on Sagawa Joe. Or Kazushi Steiner beating Trans M. Hiroshi in a arm wrestling challenge. Or Trans M. Hiroshi and Kazushi Steiner then defeating Taka South America and Renaki in a tag team match. And also, Bailey was on that show as well, as he was Mike Tajiri.
Yeah, Mike Tajiri.
Cosplaying as Tajiri, as well as we had Shinsuke Nakamura on this show, the one with the CH on the beginning. not the real Shinsuke. And also we had on this show guys like Vince Lee McMahon, Taz Urano, Kyoto Edge, Shane Lee McMahon, and also, of course, Hara Shina.
As Sumo Rock.
Sumo Rock was there as well as the Nishinari Taker. And Nishinari Sting was on that show as well. So we had the first ever confrontation between The Undertaker and Sting on a small show in Shinkiba First Ring.
Brilliant. Oh, and you're forgetting the best one of all. Ryuichi Sakai. Just as himself.
As himself.
Everyone else is something, and then just the guy, just, hey, I'm here, guy. wait a minute, we're doing American wrestling? What?
Yeah, and then there was another show on Wednesday this week when Trans M. Hiroshi, which is Hiroshi Fukuda's new gimmick, as he's now a trans-American. And Mike Bailey defeated Daichi Katsato and Tsutomu Ozugi. So Mike Bailey is having a lot of fun, apparently, on on his DDT run right now. And he's also on the Sumo Hall show. We're going to talk about this Sumo Hall show in detail on another episode, I believe, because this Sumo Hall show is at the end of August, and there is so much to talk about right now. But I want to quickly mention the match Mike Bailey is in on that show. It's Daisuke Sasaki and Tetsuya Endo, the Damnation team, taking on Dick Togo and Mike Bailey. That should be a fun tag match.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
That sounds really awesome. But yeah, that's the DDT update for this week, and we wanted to quickly get into Stardom, I think, because the blocks for the 5-star Grand Prix have been announced this week.
Excellent stuff here. Do you have them in front of you? I will look at them real quick. Here.
Stardom, I have the blocks in front of me. We have
great. Run them down for
two
me.
Blocks. The Red Stars block is Io Shirai, Kairi Hojo, Momo Watanabe, Jungle Kiona, Ivelisse, Tessa Blanchard, and Courtney Stewart.
Great block. I hope Io can get back if she's healthy.
Yes.
Yeah, she had a great match versus Meiko Satomura last month on Sendai Girls, which was really rad. And that whole block there, it has a Courtney Stewart making her debut for Stardom, which is great to see. Ivelisse coming in, which is really cool to see. She's got a big opportunity in terms of being more of a wrestler, as we've seen her in her indie promotions, such as Shine, as well as Lucha Underground. I really think Kairi Hojo set really regained some steam, that she's been kind of taking a step back this year in terms of not being the champion, not being in those high-profile matches. This is her chance to really bring herself back up.
Yeah, and I'm also, in this block, I'm really looking forward to the first opportunity for Jungle Kiona for really making an impact. I recently watched her match with Chihiro Hashimoto from the June 5 Stardom show from Nagoya. Great match between two really promising rookies there. As you said, the Sendai Girls and Stardom Girls are always great when they mix it up. I'm surely going to watch that Io Shirai Meiko Satomura match. So this block, there are going to be some fun matches and some first time matches as well with Tessa and Ivelisse in this block.
Absolutely, I totally agree with you on Jungle Kiona. She's just a great rookie, great power moveset, great charisma. She reminds me of like a Japanese Cavernario from CMLL in some ways.
Yeah,
just lots of charisma, good power, and she was a great pick to put in this block of all the rookies.
Yes.
And all the rookies of Stardom are really impressive too, so I was very happy to see that.
The Blue Stars block, the second block of this tournament, Mayu Iwatani, Yoko Bito, Hiromi Mimura, Natsumi Maki, Toni Storm, Kaylee Ray, and Blue Nikita.
Just a great block up and down. Again, the two rookies in that block as well, which they're going to have a great chance against a veteran, as we talked about before when the participants were announced. Blue Nikita, German wrestling legend, yes. Greece as well. Really has psyched to see her here. Loved her matches in the past. To me, I really feel like Mamura's got a chance to really show her stuff. Out of all the rookies, she's like a good all-arounder, but she hasn't stood out to me yet, personally. And I think this is a great chance for her. And I'm really, really looking forward to Iwatani's run here. She's been an amazing wrestler this year, early in the year when she had a chance. Her first fight, she was one of the best wrestlers out of anyone, male or female, in the world, just in terms of her big matches. And she's going to have a chance to really knock it home in this block, and that's who I've got my eye on most.
Yeah, I recently watched her speech title match against Kagetsu as well, from the Nagoya show as well. It was a great match, too, with Kagetsu and Iwatani really tearing it up in this match. So yeah, this block looks really good. Happy for Kaylee Ray that she returns to Japan after her short stint in January this year. Toni Storm going in as the SWA champion, which is interesting here. And also Yoko Bito in her first tournament after returning. So both blocks really look interesting and have something different to offer, which is really great. And this tournament starts out on August 21st in Shinkiba First Ring, going all the way through September 22nd in Kurikan Hall, when the winners of both blocks face each other, and that should be a great show as well.
I really feel like Beto has not lost a step since she's returned from her hiatus. I watched some of her matches since she came back. She's only had a couple, but she's been really good in them, and I actually think she has to be considered one of the favorites to win this tournament. Just her re-debut, what high hopes they had for her at the start of the company, and I think if she can deliver here, this is going to be her test as well to deliver, and I think that she should be a favorite to win that block in this tournament.
Yeah, still wanted to watch her match with Kairi Hojo. Still haven't done that. I've been a little bit behind on Stardom. I've had some some weird technical difficulties with Stardom World, actually. Apparently, I was the only one, or one of the only ones on the world, actually having these difficulties. It was nothing on the end that Stardom World could do about it. It was my provider's fault, which I found out. So... Oh. You should really check out Stardom World. It's a great service. Go to stardom-world.com. It's 750 yen a month, and it's really worth it. Since I've sorted out these technical difficulties I had with my provider, I've watched some of the matches, and it's really, really great to see not only the matches, but also the match comments they have. They have wrestlers commenting on what they are going to do in their matches before they wrestle, and they also have the post-match comments translated, which is a nice addition to just watching the wrestling. And you gotta say, Stardom World is getting this done while New Japan, the much bigger company, doesn't.
Really strange, but like you said, it's totally appreciated though. As you said, the pre-match promos, the post-match translated promos, they've got a lot of hard-working people behind the scenes that start them in the English end that have really made this come together. They also have an English website, we-r-stardom.com, that have got a lot of great people writing for them, a lot of new people writing for them. They also have a lot of miniseries such as, Tea Time and, Pajama Party as well, which features Kairi, Mayu, and Io all talking about very random subjects, sometimes safe, sometimes Syrian. It's really all the content that they have up for English-speaking fans out there. They've done a great job, and they continue to do a great job.
Yeah, and on that note, on a Stardom-related note, Alpha Female, she is going to make her MMA debut. Let me quickly see when. On October 15th, she's having her first MMA match, I believe, in Potsdam, near Berlin. She's fighting at... I don't know which... IFO, the promotion, is apparently named. So I'm looking forward to what she can do in MMA. She's announced as a member of the Mid-Breath gym, actually. She's representing Japan.
You should go to that show, sir.
Yeah, maybe. It's a little far. A little bit far away. So I don't know if I'm going to do that. But yeah, so that's Stardom. Stardom has this tournament coming up, but also there is a tournament going on, and we are talking about days 11 and 12 of the G1 Climax 2016. The shows from Kagoshima and from Fukuoka. Overall, Dylan, what did you think about those two shows?
Block A had some very strange booking. Continuing. Very questionable decisions on two people in particular. We'll get to Night 12 in a second, but I thought it was an amazing show. But let's just get the negatives out of the way first with this Night 11. First of all, Tenzan, his run is over.
Yes.
Already. Losing to Fale here in a nice little match, for these guys. Tenzan's starting to break down a little.
You can definitely see that. We have been praising Tenzan for his first matches in the G1.
Yeah.
But it's certainly very, very visible that he's on his last run. Yeah. He should be on his last run in the G1.
But I will say this, despite... Like I said, I totally agree with you on that one, but his story to me was still so interesting out of all the people in the Block A. There's no reason for him... To me, the match that I don't understand was him losing to Makabe. Because I can't see that playing into anything. I don't mind him losing to Okada. I don't mind him losing to Fale here. But like I said, that didn't play into anything to me, and that could have kept him alive. You know, in a lot of ways, his downturn here was almost like a reverse Tama Tonga, who I actually thought had a really nice match with Goto up next here. I thought Tonga looked really good.
Yes.
Goto looked really good. I couldn't believe it when he busted out a plancha, of all things. And that's one of the things I love about Goto. I always say it. He always brings different things to the table in his matches, and that was very random, but Goto did get the win. Tonga's eliminated already here as well. But he did get a good win over Tanahashi, you know, and he's gotten better each match in his performances. I actually thought that was probably one of his best matches, along with the Tanahashi match.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, but what did you think about the next person to get eliminated? Because this really...
It's a little bit puzzling to me. Yeah.
We're talking about Sonata, of course. He lost to Maro Fuji.
Well, I wasn't surprised to see him lose to Maro Fuji, but the overall run for Sonata in this tournament has been puzzling to me, as I said. As the train of thought behind this was maybe that he got his big win over Tanahashi at the start of the G1, and then they thought maybe they just could have him lose.
Pretty much. Okay, here's the thing. To me, this may surprise you because I've advocated for Tenzan a lot. To me, Sonata is the worst booked person in G1 because they've totally squandered any momentum he had after that Tanahashi win. In my opinion. Especially after Tonga beat Tanahashi too. That totally killed. And to see him lose these ways, he's at the bottom of the block right now. And it's just, I always said we disagreed on this at first because you thought he would have a big run, and I thought he would have a middling run, but the way they've gone about it, is even if he wins out all the way, it's still kind of screwed up, in my opinion. And if he, innovates himself, he, to me, cannot get the momentum back that he had after that Tanahashi win. When after that happened, I thought, man, Sonata's a player. They've got big plans for him.
Yes. On the one hand, you can never take away this win he has over Tanahashi. But on the other hand, as you said, they could have put so much steam behind this guy as they really need someone else on top.
I agree with you. I would really love to know the explanation for both of these moves with Sonata and Tenzan, because I can't imagine a reason why. Other than, I will say this, Sonata has the same record as Evil right now.
Yeah.
So I guess they're trying to keep them a level below Naito,
Yes. That's probably what they are trying to tell us here.
I don't think that's a good idea, though.
Yeah, I wanted to quickly go back to Tenzan, there have been people fantasy booking Kojima turning against Tenzan, and when Tenzan lost to Fale, I was on the verge of typing a tweet saying, man, if I was Satoshi Kojima, I would totally turn on this loser who took my spot in this tournament. Because that's the train of thought I would have when I was Satoshi Kojima, giving up his spot for Tenzan, and Tenzan making basically nothing out of it.
I mean, I guess that could work, and that would be a good... One way or another, him fighting Kojima would be a great kind of send-off for Tenzan.
Yeah.
You know, maybe at the January 4th show. It totally leads to that. That would totally make sense, but I just think this could have been much more special, his turn on him, if that does come into play, if he had been alive on the final day, which I think could have easily have been done if they wanted, much like Sonata.
Sure.
But that they, you know, maybe your way will happen and it'll work out. You know, I don't really mind Tenzan not getting a huge push on its own, because like we said, he's pretty much on his last leg. Sorry to say, but I love me some Tenzan, but, you know. Like I said, we'll just see how that plays out. But at face value, him being eliminated is puzzling, and Sonata, to me, I can't think of an excuse for how they booked him.
Well, we said it before on our episodes. A lot of this stuff in the G1 makes sense in the end. It's been the case for couple of last years that most stuff has come together in the end. And yeah. One thing that we addressed on the show that we did on Monday, I think, was this ace deal with Tanahashi and Okada. And actually...
Yeah, you had some good info on that.
Yes, there was a Tokyo Sports article which stated that Okada is frustrated about Tanahashi still being portrayed as the number one guy in the company, or the company being more behind Tanahashi than behind him as the heavyweight champion right now. And Okada wants to prove once and for all that this is the so-called, you know, he called it the, quote, one strong era, which apparently is a an homage to the Three Musketeers. I don't know. Maybe something like that. So Okada is wanting to prove that he is the number one guy in the block or in New Japan, and that Tanahashi isn't anymore. But if we watch these matches Tanahashi and Okada have, it's so clear, abundantly clear, that Tanahashi is still on top of New Japan.
And it was none clearer than in his match versus Tomohiro Ishii on 9/11. What a match this was. This was actually legitimately my favorite match of the tournament thus far. I loved everything about these two going at it.
We have right now, it's at Cage Match, a user rating of 8.85 for this match out of 10.
Wrong rating.
So it really was incredible, and unfortunately I had some technical issues with New Japan World, which just locked me out and didn't let me get in for another 20 minutes. So I missed this match live, but I watched it back immediately after the main event had finished, and it was great. Maybe it wasn't that great of a match like the match when Ishii beat Tanahashi in Currican Hall, I think, in 2013. That was incredible.
Oh yeah.
But
I totally agree with you.
But still, this match was great. Lots of near falls, a great build to the end of the match, to the high fly flow. Also, the hot crowd added a lot to this match.
Oh, I totally agree with you. It was sort of the opposite of Tanahashi's recent match, the A Block night before, where he faced Goto. There's just so much energy in this crowd and these two guys here. Ishii was just amazing, off the charts. Of being his hard-nosed self, and, man, I couldn't say enough about this, and Tanahashi at one point had a great counter to the Brainbuster, and he had a dragon suplex afterwards. Just great stuff all around from these two, and to me, these two have been the MVPs of, we talked about it in the last episode, but these two right now are head and shoulders as the MVPs of Block A, to me.
Yeah. I guess you could say so. Tomohiro Ishii is always delivering very strong matches. He had a good match with Maro Fuji as well. And in the main event of this show, we had Katsushika Okada defeating Togi Makabe, so that Okada is now leading the block. Of course, this show will probably be out after the Osaka show already happened, so we can't talk about this one right now, but we're talking about the shows that occurred during the week. So Okada beat Makabe to take the lead in Block A. I liked this match because in the end, Makabe really forced Okada to show some fire, which he has been lacking in my opinion for most of his G1 matches earlier, but Okada really had to defeat the Unchained Gorilla, who really proved to be an Unchained Gorilla as he was screaming at Okada to finally show some fire, and Okada did and defeated him with the Rainmaker in the end. And I thought that was a good main event, not nearly as good as Tanahashi versus Ishii, but probably better than expected.
Yeah, this was a fine match. Makabe, like you said, I thought Makabe really brought a lot of fire of his own here, and it brought some good stuff out of Okada. Speaking of matches not quite to the level of their predecessors, this one didn't quite live up to their title match that's always talked about from 2013. I thought it was probably, it was fine for what it was, but I thought the three matches before it were all stood out more to me. in terms of that. But it was fine. It was a fine main event. Makabe always brings some good crowd reactions to him. And it felt like Okada was winning, and they did the best they could with that, because there wasn't a lot of drama to me in terms of... I never really thought that Makabe could win, but they made the best out of what they had here.
Yes. That was block A from Kagoshima, which saw around 3,000 fans in a sold-out place. Nice. Then they went to Fukuoka. They had 2,573 fans in attendance for this show, slightly down from the show last year there that was headlined by AJ Styles versus Tetsuya Naito. This one was headlined by Katsuhiko Nakajima versus Tetsuya Naito, which is a strong statement from, in my opinion, because Nakajima is a guy who isn't well known around New Japan fans, and getting basically the same number as last year with this match is quite a statement. And also,
this was his hometown, though.
Oh yeah, right. This was his hometown. Okay, right. But still a good crowd for this show. Again, a hot crowd in Fukuoka, which is kind of surprising because Fukuoka has been known for bad crowds for a long time.
Oh, I thought the crowd was really good on this show, which we'll get to. And I liked your take on this, the opening match of the G1 matches, Nagata versus Yano here, which Yano had a crazy finish tying up Nagata on the outside.
That was so fun, yeah.
Yeah, getting the count out here, and like you said, you mentioned this on Twitter, that it adds some legitimacy to the count-out teases that they keep doing.
Yeah, even though it wasn't the classic count-out tease, but he put duct tape on Nagata's feet, basically, and Nagata couldn't get on his feet anymore to make it into the ring. But still, this was a count-out victory, and as you said, gives some legitimacy to these count-out teases. And I really like this match. It was another... Toru Yano changed it up in this match, as you wanted him to go to a different direction, not have the same match all the time. He had a different match with Katsuyori Shibata as well, when he pinned him in like 65 seconds. And I want to say this, Toru Yano, he is really a guy who looks out for new forms of media, as his match with Katsuyori Shibata fit in one GIF.
Yes, I did. I did see that on Twitter. Here's a big problem with Yano, and why I may not enjoy him a little less. If you look at his record after this show, he's tied with Nagata, Shibata, Yoshihashi, and Kenny Omega. Why does Yano need three to be 3-3? His record is better than Evil's and Sonata's.
Well, I have no idea, but as I said, we will probably have to wait and see how the blocks look in the end.
I disagree. I think in this case, three wins is too many for Yano already. Much like Sonato, he's already played out his welcome. But this was fun. I was happy to see them do something different. I felt bad that Nagata had to take the fall, though, because he'd been having a great tournament up to this point.
As I think we said it on the last show as well, they are booking this tournament differently than in years before, as a lot of guys are 50-50 with their matches.
I like Block B's booking for the most part.
Yes,
me too. Yeah, that's just the one blemish on this, Yano. What if they had just given two of those wins to Evil and Honma, you know, and Honma and Evil were 3-3 and Yano had one? That to me would be great. I don't need to see Yano getting 6 and 8 points and things like that.
Would be a great story for Toru Yano if he was just this goofy comedy wrestler who tried to cheat to get his wins and in the end always loses.
Yeah.
That would be a great storyline for him, and it wouldn't hurt him at all.
They seem to protect him in these tournaments.
Right, they seem to protect him. Maybe the reason why they protect him as well is because he's the GHC Tag Team Champion with Maro Fuji.
Even in the New Japan Cup in years past, he made the semifinals of those shows. They seem to like having him do things in tournaments like this, but I don't think it was the right call in this case.
Well, it's Toru Yano, as I said. still at the point of saying it's not bad, it's not good, it's just Toru Yano. So yeah, Toru Yano.
What about something that was good? true.
Yeah, yeah. Something that was good, changing gears from Toruyano. Michael Elgin beat Yoshihashi with the Elgin Bomb in another great showing for Yoshihashi, and in another great showing that Yoshihashi is still over with the fans.
Oh my god, he's so over. He's one of the most over people in this company, legitimately. This, first of all, I love this match a lot. Both guys, to me, talking about MVP candidates, I think these guys are right up there. And Block B, Big Mike has totally brought it in all of his matches. Yoshihashi brings so much fire, so much energy, so many great near falls. The crowd's rallying behind him so much. And after this match featured, this wasn't the best match of the tournament, I won't say that, but it featured my favorite moment of the tournament in the post-match, which the camera zoomed in. And who was this that they zoomed in on, Strigger?
I can't remember right now.
It looked to me, this may be, I haven't seen her wrestle in a while, but this looked to me like Yoshihashi's wife.
Oh!
Ayumi Kirahara, an amazing Joshi wrestler who's retired. And she was crying over Yoshihashi taking the loss here.
Oh, man.
I love this so much. I cannot describe how great this was.
I really can't remember. I probably have to go back and look at this again.
It might not have been her, but I thought it could have been. And if it wasn't, maybe I'm just cosplaying that because I love Ayumi Kurahara.
But you know,
my favorite.
Which would be even more amazing is...
It's just
be,
a random person.
Right! If just a random woman in the crowd would cry about Yoshihashi losing.
You know what? I changed my mind. That wasn't Ayumi Kurahara. That was just a random woman in the crowd. You know, the Kako spirit has flowed through.
Oh,
and this wasn't even his hometown. On my Twitter feed, after this match, people were saying, is this Yoshihashi's hometown? He's so over.
No.
He's not from Fukuoka.
No, he's from the Aichi region.
Yes. A former Sambo master in his earlier life. That's legit, by the way. But Big Mike, Yoshihashi, incredible match.
Yeah. Next matchup was Evil against Tomoki Honma. Nice match. Two guys doing their stuff, getting their stuff in, but nothing more. I thought was happy for Evil getting a very decisive win over Honma.
Yeah, I had the same takeaway as you here. Pretty much right down the middle in terms of quality, but a fine watch, nothing bad. And Evil getting the win was good. He'd been taking the fall a lot earlier in this tournament. I think he's due to get a few wins to bring himself back up. But his performances have really been good. I thought he stood out in Block B for his kind of roughhouse style that he has. And I'll say some more about him as well, Sonata, later on, but I totally agree with you on this match.
Yeah, it's really striking that a lot of matches that are in position 7 on these G1 cards are mostly fine, but could be maybe better, as we haven't talked about Maro Fuji against Sanada, I believe, from the show in Kagoshima. This match, I thought, they had some great counters, they had some great strikes, they had some great moves in this match, but still, with not even 11 minutes, I thought they could have done more with Maro Fuji and Sanada.
True, true. And I feel that way about a lot of Sanada's matches, actually, since he got his Tanahashi win. Not only has his booking been bad, I have to admit that I expected a little bit more of him in the ring. But here's the thing I wanted, since we were talking about Yoshihashi a second earlier. Everyone always said, going into this tournament, and they say right, they probably still think, and a lot of people, that he is anointed as one of the next aces, and he's got a bright future, which is totally true, and I totally agree with that. But if you compare this tournament, you compare Sanada and Yoshihashi, who's had the better crowd reaction, and who has had the better performances? To me, it's a no-brainer that Yoshihashi has totally outshined him, and they've been feuding before this. Yeah, so... I have a feeling whenever they go back to that, because they're going to have a blow-off match eventually, that everyone's going to think that Sanada should win. But to me, I think Yoshihashi has outshone him. And as of right now, this moment in time, they could do some crazy things in booking that could change some things. But right now, I feel like Yoshihashi has a lot of upside. They've caught lightning in a bottle with him. And they're doing a great thing to keep him even, because a lot of people expected him to do nothing in this tournament. And he's been one of the best book guys, in my opinion. And taking the fall to Elgin doesn't hurt him at all. But him at 3-3 and still in the mix at this stage of the game is really good for him. I think he's really over and has a ton of upside still at this point.
Yeah, but maybe they are also positioning Sanada as weak as he is, because Yoshihashi has always been saying, you don't belong here, you didn't make the cut when you had your tryout, I made the cut, I belong here, and I am better than you. And so maybe they are picking this not good G1 that Sanada is having right now up for a later storyline between Yoshihashi and Sanada.
Yeah, exactly. I said, they're going to have a blowout, yeah, right. Or a blow-off eventually. But all I'm saying is Yoshihashi has a lot of potential.
Right. A match that on paper looked slightly awkward because the guys in the match have so different styles. But a match that turned out to be great was Katsuyori Shibata against Kenny Omega. What I really loved about this match were the different counters to the Kata Yoko no Tenji that Omega does. Omega, I think he had Shibata up on his shoulders three times, twice at least. One time, Shibata countered the One-Winged Angel with a armbar, which he transitioned into a triangle choke, which looked great in my mind. And one time he countered the Kata Yoko no Tenshi with a sleeper hold, and he had Kenny Omega on the ground then and delivered his penalty kick a little bit later on to win this match. Really great match. Kenny Omega is having some great matches in this tournament. He is at 6 points now as well as Shibata, but I really like this match.
Yeah, I liked it too. I thought this was my second favorite match of the night, besides the Elgin Yoshihashi match. I thought Omega, like you said, he's delivered. I really had low expectations for him coming in, and he's done some good stuff. He's back to really the Omega we've seen, that we knew was possible. We've seen in PWG, DDT, and things of that nature. He's brought his working boots in a lot of matches. This match, I thought, was very strong. There was some smart work between these guys. And Omega, I really liked him fighting out of the sleeper and trying to fight out of it. I thought that was a great tease there. But eventually, he, like you said, Shibata hit the PK. And hopefully, Omega can keep it up. And we know Shibata is probably going to round this tournament out really well.
Yeah, and this show was closed out, as we mentioned, with the main event between Katsuhiko Nakajima, the hometown boy, and Tetsuya Naito. And still, in this match, Naito was the heavy crowd favorite.
Yes. I thought that was very funny. They clearly positioned Nakajima to get a big reaction from the hometown crowd, but it didn't quite pay off. But, you know, who can blame him? Naito right now, he's right up there as among the most popular people in this company. I still am on record as thinking he's one of the favorites to win, if not the favorite. And Naito, to me, has really come across well in this tournament as balancing his character work as well as his ring work, as I said in the last episode. I feel like that these two, too, I felt like that they left enough room, they left enough on the table for a rematch down the line at some point, maybe in a future G1 or something of that nature. Nakajima Naito, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so still, I have to give him credit there.
But still, the match I thought was really, really great. I enjoyed it very much, with Naito working over Nakajima's right leg, I believe, and Nakajima really sold it very well. He couldn't deliver his kicks like before, but in the end, the adrenaline rush was just there for him to go to a great finishing stretch with Naito. Naito then, in the end, getting the Destino for the victory. What did you think about the match?
Oh, I also thought it was, like I said, I thought it was a great match. They very good. They left some more on the table for a rematch. And I also liked that they really worked it smart, where the crowd kept getting more and more into it as the match got along, I thought. And Nakajima had some great moments, a great near fall off his PK as well, much like Shibata. As we saw, Shibata just went with a PK, so his PK got a great crowd reaction, I thought. But yeah, like I said, it was a very good match. I think Naito's had a great tournament. Nakajima, obviously, has represented Noah well. I will say this. There's one thing I want to say about Naito, because there's something I can't shake, a feeling I can't shake about the Ingobernables as a whole. And that is that when Naito comes out, he has a great look with a suit. He doesn't really do anything too goofy or anything like that with his entrance. And I just wanted to kind of get this out there, that I think that the rest of the Ingobernables especially Evil. His entrance will always stand out to me as looking like a complete geek, in my opinion. He wrestles good. I love Sonata as a wrestler, and I'm starting to really like Evil, but I just can't get past that their gimmick holds them back in some ways. And on the flip side, I think Naito makes the best of his gimmick, and it's really helped him when the other two have held them back, not just in booking, but just in how they wrestle. I feel like they'd be a lot better in something more, a little more straightforward. Sonata coming out with, you know, Cold Skull with the leather thing and glass shattering at his entrance. I just think, man, you look so cheesy whenever I see that. And Evil is just a mess, but as I've always stated. But great wrestlers. I wish they would get a better grasp on their gimmick like Naito does here, because I think he owns it in a way that nobody else does.
Yeah. You know, with Sonata and Evil, I'm totally on your side of that. I believe, I think Bushi is really, really great in his role. He
has a good thing going with his miss.
Right. He really adapted well to his Ingobernables gimmick. Sonata and Evil, they've really some upside right now with that. And one thing I've been wondering is how long this Los Ingobernables gimmick will be so hot as it is right now. I love this gimmick. I love the four guys. I love the Los Ingobernables de Japón. I love Naito's post-match speeches. But I've been questioning how long will this go on and how long will this be so hot?
I also think Naito's still got a great run as a true, and he's shown signs of it already in the tournament. He's got a lot of potential as a future babyface.
Yeah.
Even as this gimmick, because we saw in his match with Nagata, and I love that match a lot. If you remember, he did the salute to Nagata, and then at the end, Nagata mocked his pose, but Naito just had a great smile and, like, clapped for it. He came across like a real, like, babyface, in my opinion. Just a laid-back kind of guy. You know, very laid-back, but I really liked his performances when he goes that route. But he still wrestles a very more of a roughneck, heelish style, but I think he's got a lot of upside as a babyface in the future.
You know, this would also be classic wrestling 101 booking.
I know we're thinking the same thing.
With the babyface who didn't get over with the fans, turned heel, then the fans started to like him, and then in the end he turns babyface to an even better reaction than he had during his heel run when the fans started to like him.
Oh, exactly. I think we're nearing that perfect time. I think if he wins this G1, as a lot of people have predicted, I think that could be the sign we're already on that road. Like, it won't happen right away, but I think, and you can just tell the reaction, how just look how over he is right now with the fans. He's just too likable. He's just too good right now in his role, his character, I feel like. But I think there's a lot of potential for that. And there's a lot of potential, too, if perhaps, you know, the other three could turn on him, or maybe one member of the group turns on him.
Yeah.
And they tweak that gimmick a little bit to where they get something to where they're all more comfortable. And then Naito can keep being Naito, and I think it would benefit everyone.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So, as we said, the show is probably out Saturday, but we talked about these G1 shows now, and we'll probably have another show this coming week. I don't know when specifically. As I said, I've been moving, or I'm moving to a new place, and everything is up in the air right now. But certainly, the G1 is still going on, and I don't want to go out without mentioning a show that's coming up for Heat Up Pro Wrestling on August 31st. I want to quickly get the card for this show. If I have it right in front of me.
I'm always down for some heat-up talk.
Down for some heat-up talk, but I can't find the card right now.
Need that to talk about it.
That's the main issue I have right now. Schedule. Schedule, schedule.
Heat-up's not great with promotion sometimes, people.
No. That's why...
Tamura, get it together. We need these press releases of these cards here. Like, who else will you be talking about Heat Up besides this show?
So there is a great card coming up with an amazing 8-man tag match, actually. Wait a second. Let's try to do some stalling here right now.
But I mean, a great show coming up. Tamura on fire. Heat up promotion is hot. It's heated up right now.
It's heating. It's totally heating up. So we have an 8-man tag match with Tatsumi Fujinami, actually, of all people. But this fucking homepage won't... I'm so sorry for swearing on the show. Won't load up right now. Heat up, you're letting me down right now. Man.
And we're trying to give you promotion. To all
trying
the
to give heat up promotion. But it just won't work right now. So
Heat up, you're killing me. You're killing me right now. I wanted to talk about heat up.
So the match... Oh, yeah, there it is. The match I was trying to get through... Basically, the main event of this show on August 31st is Katsuhiro Tamura defending the championship against Koji Iwamoto, who recently won a tournament. And also, we have on this show an 8-man tag match. Internet is really letting me down right now. Sorry for this.
Technical difficulties sometimes. Technical, it's the provider, people. Technical, it's the provider.
It's the provider. Man.
Heat up.
Heat up doesn't heat up right now.
It's not heating up your connection.
So basically,
Satoki, we're sorry.
I don't have the exact match in front of me, but it's basically an 8-man tag match that has Tatsumi Fujinami, Leona, Kenichiro Arai, Yoshiaki Fujiwara, and a few other guys. It's an amazing 8-man tag match that's going on in Heat Up right at the end of August from, can't even say from where the show is, because it's not translating for me right now. So this is you're experiencing what I'm experiencing on a daily basis, because Google Chrome just won't translate this page for me right now, in spite of me having the settings on that Google Chrome has to translate from Japanese to English all the time. So I have it in front of me right now. The card is actually pretty great. It's in the
this
opening.
It's a great build-up, I feel like. I feel like we've built the anticipation.
Yeah, it's in the opening match. Hiroshi Kondo against Yu Isuka, who is a new trainee. We have Shango and Saiko going against Shinya Ishida and a guy yet to be named. We have Masahiro Takanashi from DDT and Fuminori Abe going against Mineo Fujita and Rocky Kawamura. Rocky Kawamura, a great guy. The former Ryo Kawamura. And he has on his pants, on his trunks, wrestling trunks, he has the name Ryo Oki. So basically mix up between Rocky and Ryo, which is great. And this 8-man tag match I was talking about. Tatsumi Fujinami, Hiroshi Watanabe, Kenichiro Arai, and Leona against Yoshiaki Fujiwara, Takumi Sano, Kotaro Naso, and Daisuke Kanehira. An amazing match.
And also
in the main event, as I said, Katsuhiro Tamura against Koji Iwamoto. So we have been stretching the show for me to get the translation of this going. But I wanted to get heat up in this show, into the show.
What do you think about Leona?
Well,
what's your take?
Leona against Jun Akiyama was a pretty bad match. I haven't seen Leona wrestle since. But I hope that now that he's finished with university and getting into wrestling more, that he's getting more training and more experience, and I'm hoping for him to just progress slightly. I don't have high hopes for him to be the next Tatsumi Fujinami, but maybe he can become a decent wrestler.
I saw someone on Twitter say that he was getting good or something recently, and I was like, "Huh?" It may have been Phil. It may have been Satoki that said this. I can't remember who this was, but someone was defending him, and I was baffled. But he is the son of a legend. Fujinami was a great wrestler, so as you can see, that can get you places sometimes in pro wrestling. But like you said, hopefully there is upside for him. Just based on what we've seen, he's never shown any ability to. He's never shown really any ability, like if we're being honest, but hopefully he can be better. Leona, I'm sure he's a nice young man, so I'm rooting for Leona, as well as, Chikara Momota as well, who is another brilliant debutante of a legend.
The one thing I have to say about Shikara Momota is I've been told that Shikara, on his social media, he acknowledges that he knows that he's not good, but he just still wants to wrestle because he likes wrestling.
Oh, well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. That's just nice. And he probably knows that he'll never be... He will never be his grandfather, who is Riki Dozan. But if he has a nice career in indie wrestling and he likes wrestling, then I think that's all that matters for him.
Take this as someone who once wrestled on a public access show for pizza slices. I feel his pain on this one of knowing you're kind of not that good yet. But at the same time, I was much younger than him and probably with much, much less training. So but you know, I do respect that. I do respect that he's honest. He's not here saying, you know, screw everyone who criticizes me. They're like, you know, yeah, I do my best. I have fun, you know, so just let me have my fun, people. So yeah. I respect you, Shikara. You're cool.
All right. On that note, talking about Shikara.
Not the indie promotion.
Not the indie promotion, but the Japanese indie wrestler closing out the show. If you made it through the show, congratulations, because I think there...
We love you.
We love you. There have been some technical issues. And as we talked, my mood got a little bit better, but
have before the show.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
He fought an inanimate object. Let me just say that.
Yeah,
I think you challenged one to a fight, too. You were just talking to random things, and I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? He's like, no, I'm talking to the headset. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, there wasn't nobody in my room. It was just me battling with my notebook and my headset. I will probably have to get some better equipment to make sure.
You show great fighting spirit against that thing, though. Yeah. That was strong style at its finest.
Yeah, thank you, and... I'll probably get on the royal road to get better equipment, but at this point, there's just nothing I can do, and it's frustrating for me, and I know it's...
Yeah, believe me, it's frustrating for me too, but I blame the provider.
Yeah.
No, I think that's all we can do right now.
Well, on that note, we are going to wrap it up. I hope you still enjoyed the show. I did enjoy talking wrestling with Dylan again. And we'll be back sometime next week, I hope. And until then, have a good time and goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye, Nora.
Streaming worldwide, this is the MLWRadio.com network.